Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and you'll get a risk-free bet of $500. Download WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at Underdog Fantasy with the promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in the Best Ball Mania 2 contest for a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million on UnderdogFantasy.com. And, of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app in the App Store or the Google Play Store. You've got all of our picks, all of our podcasts, and all kinds of news and other features all right there in the palm of your hand. Make sure to download the SGPN app in the App Store or the Google Play Store.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 59. We're getting into some weird numbers. We like to dedicate each episode to usually to an athlete with the number. We're getting into some odd numbers, but I'm going Montreal Expos again. This is the third show in a row. I'm going with Ugith Urbina, a.k.a. Ugi Urbina. Probably the only listener who'd remember him would be my brother, who was an Expos diehard, but he wore 59 for the Expos. Okay, I'm going to break a rule again. I'm going to let my co-host, my know-it-all associate co-host, I'm going to let him talk again before I introduce him. I'm going to ask him, do you remember Ugi Urbina?
I do remember Ugi Urbina because my dad was a Red Sox fan, and he played for Red Sox in the early 2000s. Also, if I'm not mistaken, has Ugi Urbina been – does he have a murder conviction on him? Like, isn't he in prison?
Yeah. There, I couldn't remember if he was dead or in prison. Is it Pascal Perez who might be dead?
I think Ugi Urbina is the one who's in prison. I think he tried to kill somebody with, like, a machete or something.
Yes.
Or he tried to set him on fire?
In Venezuela.
Or both?
Yeah,
both.
I think it was.
Maybe both.
Attempted murder. He's 7 years in prison. It was just attempted murder, guys. Relax. He didn't kill anyone. He just tried to. He wielded a machete. He tried to pour gasoline on him. He attacked five people. Five people he did that to. Nice.
So I was right. Machete and fire.
Yeah, but he's been out. He's been out for a while. So look out, Venezuela. He's out of prison. So, yes, there you go. I forgot. I knew there was something going on with that guy, but I forgot what it was. So, yes, Ugi Urbina. Now I'm going to very politely tell my co-host to shut his yapper and wait till he's introduced, like a good little boy. There, see, it worked. All right, I'll introduce myself first. I'm Jeff Fox, your lovely host, intrepid host, maybe we could call me. Like this is episode 59 of this lovely podcast. Hopefully you're listening to us on our exclusive feed, the MMA Gambling Podcast feed. If you're listening to us on the SGPN feed, if you can find the feed just for us and subscribe there, because that's the one I track the numbers on and stuff. And give us a follow. Give us a five-star review, because we obviously deserve it. And we'll go from there. So don't want to waste too much time because we have a jam-packed, amazing, possibly the best UFC fight card ever coming up, according to my associate co-host, who's going to die on the hill that this is a good fight card we've got this week. So let's introduce him. He, like I said, he's going to die on the hill at Hall versus Strickland is a killer card. He is also a killer on the mats. You use mats in jiu-jitsu. Yes, he's a killer on the jiu-jitsu mats. Look out, everyone. He is a purple belt. What else should I tell him about him? And he knew who Ugi Urbino was. And he remembered that he tried to murder people, which is impressive. So this is the one and only Daniel Gumby.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, yo.
That was a longer intro, and usually the longer the intro, the better my picks are. So
I better tail along with you again this week, except for the past two shows we've done, we've just differed on one.
Yeah,
day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Instagram. So we...
And I got them both right.
So I think I have to somehow get you to differ more. Maybe you need to lead more often.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of question mark picks again.
So you're going to make me lead on those?
Yeah, and then it helps me clear up my thinking because a lot of times I'll have a kid harass me while I'm doing the research and I'll just like throw down a pick without really, really listening to my heart and going with who I think is going to win because this card, I know so much about all the participants on it. It's just nothing but five-star bold above the title names on this card. But let me see. There's maybe a few news things we can tip on before that. This isn't really a news. Apparently, this is a news item to a lot of people. It seems to come as a shock to people. But it's that Conor McGregor's a despicable asshole. But people seem to be just coming around to that now. But I thought that was known for years, was it?
Yeah, I thought so too. In the fact that he had already told Dustin Poirier that he was going to kill him and his family in their sleep. I feel like while this tweet was a little bit worse, I wouldn't say it was a whole heck of a lot worse than that, right?
Yeah, and you did the old John Jones where you delete it after the fact.
Yeah, but
which always works. No one ever sees your deleted tweets.
Yeah, but I'll say this about John Jones. So, like, you're right. John Jones deletes the tweets, but like John Jones also, while probably also a scumbag, he did hit a pregnant woman with his car while on drugs and fled the scene. I don't think he was ever like this kind of low, right? DC's stepdad died, I'm pretty sure he just sent like well wishes to DC and stuff like that. And he never got along with DC. Even when they weren't about to fight, there was no like, you know, friendship afterwards or anything like that. So for him to have done that at that time, and then you get this, you know, just monstrosity of the tweet from Connor, I don't even know what its purpose is. Is the purpose to try to like draw Habib back? Like, it's not going to work. Have you seen Habib? He's just munching on cheeseburgers and winning as a coach.
Yep. Not that this is related or anything, but there's an old expression that cocaine is one hell of a drug. Not that that has anything to do with Conor McGregor or anything, but just throw that out there. I like how people are like, we're getting all these editorials about him now. Like, this is like a big surprise. This is the guy who, what, multiple sexual assault allegations.
He punched an old man in a bar for not accepting, yep. And not for like a good reason, for not accepting shitty whiskey.
What else did he do? You know, just the usual, like, smash people's phones. You know, that stuff's, you know, that happens when you're a celebrity. I get it. Throwing the dolly through the bus and, you know, injuring emotionally, like, physically and mentally injuring people. Pretending he's a family man when you see a lot of pictures that show you otherwise. It's funny that people are on their high horse now about this, but pretty much the only thing I really have to say about it is if people really have an issue with this, we all have the power to make Conor McGregor go away. If we do not pay attention to Conor McGregor, he isn't a thing anymore. It's simple as that. If you don't pay attention to him and the companies that sponsor him and you don't give them your eyeballs and your wallet, then Conor McGregor is not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. It's just said and done, but
yeah, I think that's the problem, right? It's because like that's easier said than done. And I've said the same thing before, that, like, mentality about, you know, like, and it's the same mentality that when, like, diehard fans say, oh, let's all band together and not buy this card because they gave Jorge Masvidal a second title shot and not, you know, Leon Edwards or insert deserving fighter here. And the problem is the reason they pick Masvidal is because the people who want the sport to be pure are not the people who that thing is geared towards, right? And Conor McGregor is not geared towards me and you either, right? Like, it's not geared towards MMA fans who are going to watch a card that is co-main evented by Kyung Ho Kang and Hany Yaya.
No, this is a killer card.
Much better than you're making it out to be. But, you know, Conor McGregor's fan base and what makes Conor McGregor tons of money and makes this stuff keep happening, it's not the me and yous and probably not the anybody listening to this podcast right now. It's the people who watch Conor McGregor stuff despite not being huge MMA fans.
Yeah, no, that's true. Sadly, it's a combat sport thing. Mike Tyson's not exactly a saint, and pretty sure he did time for raping a teenage girl, but he's America's sweetheart still somehow.
It's so. Because he kisses that's pigeons, seems, I think.
Yeah, exactly. All right, enough of that. There pretty much was only bad news this week. Chris Weidman just announced he's got to have surgery again because his leg isn't healing. While I by no means want to see him fight again, I don't want him to have lingering injuries either, so that sucks.
Yeah, it also sucks that we just saw a video of him like being like, my doctor said I can walk again and possibly go to the gym and hit pads. Yeah. And it's like, should your doctor have told you that?
Yeah. Maybe not, right? Maybe
seems like
not.
A maybe no.
And then another, I believe this is one of a favorite of Dan's, Tatiana Suarez is not coming back like expected because she needs surgery again on her knee. Apparently she injured it badly is what the story is, it sounds like. So she will not be fighting in September as expected.
Yeah, that's a huge bummer. I don't even know what to say about that other than she seems to be right up there with Ray Borg and maybe Cain Velasquez as some of the more snake-bitten fighters in history, because it's been a really long time for her, and to see this, it just sucks.
And she friggin' had thyroid cancer when she was, 21 years old, too. Like
she wanted to be an Olympic wrestler, right? Had to stop training for it because of cancer. Comes back from that, and now it's like, you know, blown out knee, neck issue, like just thing after thing after thing. And like, she's got the potential to be a champion in probably two different divisions if she could just, you know, get some fights in, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
So that's what it's over 2 years now since we last saw her. This is a gambling show. What are the odds that we're going to see her fight again?
I'd say really, really high. I think you're going to see her no matter what. Like I said, she's the type of person who persevered through all of that. So I don't think we're anywhere near a retirement. I would also say I would feel worse about the chances of her returning if this was the same injury. You know, like if she hurt her neck again, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe she's done with the next stuff and the doctor says the neck's going to keep getting hurt and she'll return. It's a completely different injury, right? Like it's totally different. So it's just terrible luck more than recurring injuries, you know?
And it's also, you see this in other sports, even with, you know, super talented people, some bodies, like physical bodies, just aren't made for whatever sport the athlete excels in. Hopefully it's not the case with her, but she just may not be cracked out to be a combat athlete, unfortunately.
Yeah, it could be that her body just can't handle it for whatever reason, but that would suck pretty greatly.
What? This show's usually so much fun, and we're a big downer this week, aren't we? We better pick things up and talk about this amazing card coming up, right?
Yeah, let me preface here. So first of all, I said that this was a great card. First of all, I said that before Chris Daukaus and Shamil Abdurakhimov fell off. I also said that before Mournir Lazzez fell off the fight card. And I said it was a sneaky good card in all of those. So I stand by that statement that it was a better card then. I will say, I think it, whether or not it's descended into being a probably a not so good card here. I would say that the style matchups in a lot of these fights should be just absolutely violent.
And like I've always said, the quality of the card does not matter to make money, right? Actually, a lot of times you'd think you could maybe make money even better on these crappy cards because the lines may not be as sharp as you expect them. Plus, Dan and I are amazing at picking prelims.
And this is basically a whole card of prelims.
And this is all prelims, exactly. So this is going to be an amazing, amazing card. Plus, it's got a former champ on it, too. Who, don't forget about that, Dan. That was a good one you did last week. Oh, there's a former champ on this card. I'm like, what? Took me a long time. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to her. But first of all, let's tell you about WynnBET. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $500 sports bet. Download, bet, and win. So download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com to start winning. All right, let's start winning with some picks here. So we have been dancing around talking about this fight card. Let's actually get down and talk about it. It would be UFC and ESPN Hall versus Strickland, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 33, correct. Right? I think 33. It's 33. I haven't written the article yet. Yes, 33. All right. As Dan mentioned, we lost a couple fights since we spoke. Hopefully we don't lose too many after we speak. We lost the big boy heavyweight fight, as Dan mentioned, Abdurakhimov and Dawkins, and then we lost, Munir Laziz. Okay, pull it up because visa issues. How does that happen, like, a couple days before a fight? Can you explain that to me?
I don't know how that happens. It's
happened a bunch of times.
I don't know how that happens a couple of days before a fight. That one seems wild because Roman Kopylov is kind of in that same boat, too. I think, actually, last time we talked, Roman Kopylov was fighting Sam Alvey on that card. And yes. That fight fell off. So, yeah, like, yes. It's happened a couple of times, which is funny. I talked to Cameron Else a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, he was waiting on a visa to see if it would happen. But if it hasn't happened by the end of the week, they're probably just going to push his fight. And then they wound up pushing his fight. I didn't confirm that it was due to the visa issue. But they did that like a week and a half to 2 weeks ahead of time. Like, he didn't have his visa then, and they're like, okay, well, we're just going to push it. I almost wonder if some of these guys from countries other than, like, Cameron Else coming from England, obviously. Some of these guys coming from countries other than England maybe just don't have as good of a sense of whether or not they're going to get a decision by then and are just, like, holding out hope. Or maybe the UFC doesn't have as good contact with, like, the Moroccan embassy as they do England. So, yeah, it could be a number of those things.
That's true. It just comes off as Bush League to me, but I guess that's what we're dealing with here, though. So anyhow, Laziz out, Jared Gooden in, but I don't – UFC, I think we're just talking off air. UFC has not officially announced this yet, but that's UFC for you. Everybody else basically has announced that Jared Gooden is filling in against Nicholas Stolze. And then the Alvey Kopylov fight is off because of the visa. And then the, as mentioned, Abdurakhimov and Dawkins is off. But don't worry, there's a bunch of other awesome names for me to say coming up. So Abdurakhimov isn't that hard, actually. All right, so this will be once again from the Apex, the UFC Apex. Did you know it was Enterprise, Nevada? It's not technically Las Vegas, Nevada. I bet you didn't know did you?
I did not.
There you go. If you use Wikipedia, you would know that. So anyhow, it's technically in Enterprise, Nevada, which I had never been to. Neither. I haven't been to Vegas. I'll admit that on the air. I've never been to Vegas. What do you think of that, degenerates? Have you, Dan, been to Vegas?
No, I've never been west of the – or only just barely west of the Mississippi River. Yeah,
how many listeners do we just lose there? telling them we've never been to the gambling mecca. You don't need to go there though to gamble.
No. There's all kinds of other places, and Atlantic City is not all that far. I've seen like hundreds of fights in Atlantic City in my life, so I feel like that's like baby Vegas.
It is. All right, so this one's in, like I said, Enterprise. 9 p.m. is the main card on ESPN. Yikes. This is another thing. This is an ESPN card. This isn't ESPN Plus or ESPN 2 or something like that. This is the big ESPN that gets this stellar fight card. So, not 9 o'clock for the main stuff with the prelims. It changes as fights fall 6 o'clock. So the UFC can make sure they drag this out to be at least, 6 hours like they'd like to do. So, all right, let's kick it off. I've wasted enough time here. Welterweights, Philip Rowe, Orion Kostge, or is it Orion? I think it's Orion because his nickname
is Orion.
Galaxy. So we got Galaxy, Orion Galaxy, or Philip the Fresh Prince Rowe. Galaxy obviously wins the nickname game of that.
No,
right?
Fresh Prince from Philly?
Yeah, I guess, but it's not like he looks like Will Smith.
I suppose he doesn't. Also, it says he was born in Brooklyn, but I feel like he trains in Philly. So
yeah, isn't that where Will is in this song? No, he got sent from Philly to Brooklyn. Right? Yeah. Okay. I was told I look like Will Smith. Can you believe that?
Will Smith, like
big goofy white guy, like me.
Do you mean?
Yeah,
the...
I can't remember who told me. It might have been my wife in the olden days.
Could it have been the Atlanta Braves closer, Will Smith?
maybe or the UFC fighter Will Smith. No, that guy's tiny. So anyhow, we're off the rails already. Okay, this is one of my question mark fights, but not really. All right, so Fresh, we're gonna argue on the nickname, but we'll see if we argue with their pick. We'll go with the Fresh Prince Rowe first. He's 7-3, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, nothing but finishes. Same with Kostge, nothing but finishes. So these guys have never won a fight via decision. They finished their opponents. So Rowe is very well-rounded. Like I said, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's 0-1 the UFC. He's 1-0 on the Contender Series to get into the UFC. He's 4 inches taller, 9 inches of reach. You don't see – what's the biggest – do you remember what the biggest reach we've seen? That may be the biggest one we've seen.
The biggest one I've seen in a while.
Yeah, that's huge. And he's a more active striker, which meaning he lands more strikes per minute or per fight, however you want to break it down. He lands more strikes on average than Kostge does, which having a 9-inch reach and you land more strikes, that's a good combo. If you think it's a good combo, you can get him at +135. Kostge 7-0, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. So he's more of a finisher via strikes than his opponent. 1-0 in the Contender Series as well. He's 4 years younger. He's got striking stats in his favor and grappling stats in his favor, -170. Break it down. I don't know a heck of a lot about both these guys. So,
I like Phil Rowe in the sense that he does a really good job of maintaining distance, largely because he's got an 80-inch reach, which is just an insane reach.
Is that what it is? Really?
Yeah, it's 80 inches is his reach.
And how tall is he?
6'3". So he's going to be 4 inches taller with the 9-inch reach advantage, like you mentioned. But I actually don't think it's going to matter all that much in this fight, mostly just because I think Kostge can out-wrestle him if he gets in on the legs. And while Rowe does a good job of keeping distance, I don't know with the pace and pressure, and this is true of either Kostge brother, if you're thinking of either of them, both of them...
There's another one?
Who's the other one? Orion, and it's the one who lost to Sasha Poletnikov in his debut.
Uh-huh.
I
might have just thought it was the same.
There
is another Koff.
Yeah, they both got contracts on the same Dana White Contender Series. So if you're on that fight card, you can click on that one, and you'll get the other one's name.
Okay.
One being Matt Dixon, which is Orion, who's the better one, and Lewis Kostge beat Victor Reyna. Yeah, I like that both of them just move forward with kind of like a little bit of a reckless abandon. I don't think Phil Rowe has got good enough hands to just keep him away or starch him if he keeps pressing like that. And he's just going to keep the pace up the whole time. I think he probably winds up getting a takedown. If he took down Matt Dixon, I actually think Matt Dixon, his last opponent, is probably better than Phil Rowe. And he took him down and pounded him out from a crucifix, so... Yeah, I like Orion Kostge in this one, even as a slight favorite here.
Yeah, I was leaning towards him too. So I was going to see if you were going to sell me on Rowe, and you're not. I do like the reach, but that's reach. Actually, well, let's take a peek at my stats. Reach is not really as huge a factor as you think. It's 54% is the advantage. So someone who has reach advantage wins 54% of the time. So it's not as huge as you think, but this is a big reach. But nonetheless, Kosuke is our choice, both of us. Let's go on to bantamweights, Ronnie Lawrence and Trevin Jones. One of these guys got popped in last minute. No, not this fight. Okay, never mind. Scratch that.
No,
let's start
no, no.
With,
it's
nickname.
Not last minute, but Ronnie Lawrence was supposed to fight John Castaneda, and Castaneda withdrew, okay. But I think that was probably like a few weeks ago.
Okay. No, yeah, usually – no, actually, I think Jones is one of the ones I was going to put down. If it was less than a month, I tend to call it short notice, and so I think Jones is actually – yeah, July, sorry, Jones is here on short notice, so – short notice fighters, that matters because short notice fighters are only winning, 40% of the time at this point. So something to keep in mind. All right. Nicknames, Trevin Five-Star Jones, Ronnie the Heat Lawrence. I think I like the Heat.
Yeah, I think I like the Heat too. I don't know the story behind Five-Star, but it only reminds me of Eddie Guerrero's finishing move from all the
years. Oh, yeah, Five-Star.
Frog Splash.
Of course. Well, in that case, maybe we should pick that, but... All right, Jones, 13-6 with one no contest, three knockouts, four submissions, 1-0 with one no contest in the UFC. What has no contest was, did he win that fight?
He
it was Timur Valiyev,
he did
right?
beat Timur Valiyev, and I'm fairly certain the no contest was overturned due to marijuana.
Well, it's nice that we're not going to have to worry about that going forward.
At least in Vegas, you do in Texas.
Houston, and Vegas. That's true. Yes. You can get arrested for it in Texas, too. Someone just got the dude on the Lakers just got arrested there, I think. The bald white guy just got arrested for pot.
The bald white guy?
He shaved his head now, but he used to have, like, pattern baldness. What's his name? But he can jump really high.
You're usually speaking my language if you're talking about, like, Lithuanian-looking white guys, but...
No, Alex Caruso.
That's
Alex
the problem. Caruso. He's not like not like weird European white guys. Those are the ones I gravitate towards.
He's one of you American
white guys. The Peja Stojakovic's of the world.
Yes. We're really – this is going to be a long – this is the second fight we haven't even broken down yet. We're all over the map. This is fun. That's what you guys listen to this show for, you guys and gals. All right, let's do this. The pot-smoking man, he's 1-0 with one no contest in the UFC, but he's really 2-0, because weed does not make you a better fighter, I don't think. He won via TKO his last fight. Didn't he knock out Valiev?
Yeah, he knocked out Timur Valiev, yeah. After, so he took a beating in round one, though. He was clearly 10-8 in round one and came back and knocked him out.
Okay. 2-inch reach, advantage over the Heat. He's at plus 125, and he has taken this on short notice, as we... stumbled and bumbled our way into figuring out. The Heat, Ronnie Lawrence, 7-1 with four knockouts. He's never been finished in a fight. He's 1-0 in the UFC, winning via TKO. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's won four straight fights. He fought in Bellator where he lost. He was 0-1 Bellator. He's an inch taller, two years younger, grappling stats in his favor, minus 155. I'm going to go chalk again and take the Heat.
So I've been back and forth on this one like a dozen times, and the only thing that is holding me up from making a pick is that I just don't know what Trevin Jones looks like if you shoot a takedown on him. Because he fought Timur Valiyev that whole time, and Valiyev never shot a takedown. In his second fight, he fought Mario Bautista, not a guy who's typically going to shoot very many takedowns. So, like, he's never even faced a takedown. So I would feel a lot better about him if I knew what it was going to look like when Ronnie Lawrence shoots a takedown on him. But regardless, I don't think Lawrence is going to be able to hold him down very long because Trevin Jones is both durable and very quick and very powerful. So I think he's going to be quick back to his feet even if he suffers takedowns here. And with his knockout power, I'm actually just going to pick Trevin Jones here as the underdog because I think, you know, like not that Ronnie Lawrence is not very well versed in striking and he's not got... you know, good striking in his own right. I just think, you know, like he's gotten by kind of holding people down, and it'll be interesting to see what happens if he can't hold Trevin Jones down here.
Yep, good call. I'm going against him just because the short notice thing. I'll go with my stats on it, but Yeah, Lawrence is a takedown machine, at least in the UFC has been. He's averaging 11 takedowns per 15 minutes, so it's 76% accuracy. So that's pretty crazy. And we'll see how it plays out. So there we go. We actually disagree on something for a change.
That'll be the only one.
Maybe, I don't know. The next fight, I'm waffling on this one, and you already tipped your hand, I think. Women's strawweight, Jin Yu Fry and Ashley Yoder. We got no nickname versus, we'll call her Little Rue too. Isn't that her Twitter handle, something like that? She's fighting the Spider Monkey, which is a very good nickname. We'll go with Jin Yu Fry first. She's 10-6 with a knockout, 2 submissions. So if you're picking her, you probably want to pick her via decision. She's 1-2 in the UFC, dropped her first 2 and then won her last. So to basically probably save her job, to be frank here. Before all this, she was in Invicta where she fought a weight class lower, atom weight, 105 pounds, which they do not have in the UFC. So she was 7-2 in Invicta, and she was the atom weight champion. She also fought Ryzen briefly where she was 0-1. She got grappling stats in her favor here. She's at plus 112. As for Ashley Yoder, Spider Monkey, friend of the Top Turtle podcast, she's 8-7 with 4 submissions. She's never been finished in a fight. 3-6 in the UFC, but that record could almost be swapped the other way around. She's really been screwed by judges in fights. There's numerous fights where she clearly won and she didn't get her hand raised. Maybe why she still has a job despite being 3-6 in the UFC officially. She is 1-3 over her last 4, lost her last fight. That was to Angela Hill. She was in the Ultimate Fighter where she was 1-1. She was also in Invicta where she was 1-0. She has missed weight before. It's something to keep in mind, which probably will also mean she will be the bigger fighter here weight-wise also, since Fry is a natural 105-pounder. She is also 4 inches taller, got 4 inches reach, 2 years younger. She's a more active striker, minus 140. Dan, why are you picking Fry? Why are you picking against your girl, Ashley Yoder?
It's really easy for me. I really do like Ashley Yoder's grappling quite a bit, but I think her striking lags behind Jin Yu Fry's here. I think Fry is ultimately a much better striker than Ashley Yoder, and I think she showed in her last fight that she kind of gets to decide if this goes to the ground or not. I think she did a great job in her last fight using her takedowns to control Gloria DePaula. She did probably lose the striking battle against Gloria DePaula, but that's not surprising. DePaula's a striker by trade. Yoder's a much more of a grappler. I also think that if this goes to the ground, it's Yoder off of her back all the time, right? Like, I don't think she's going to score the takedowns here. So, like, your paths to victory here for Yoder are hope that Fry takes you down and either sub her or get a sweep. Or, I mean, I guess beat her in the clinch, but I just don't think she's going to do that. So, yeah, I like Jin Yu Fry here, especially at underdog money.
Yeah, I think you sold me on that. I agree with that. Do you think Yoder's size and length is going to cause any problems at all?
I do a little bit. I mean, like, in general, I'm always worried about that for Jin Yu Fry. Like, she really would have benefited from there being an atomweight division, and by the time there is one, she's going to be too old to compete in it, which is kind of sad, because she, despite the fact that she looks like she's maybe 25 or 26, she is 36, which is kind of surprising. She's not going to be around much longer, but physically, she is much smaller than most of the women in this division. I just don't think Yoder is the right person to take advantage of that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she runs. She's not much of a bully.
No,
really.
She could really use to be, but I don't think she has the right kind of game, or even really too much of the right kind of physicality for that to pose too much of a threat.
All right, let's take some plus money and Fry. I like that pick. Let's go over to PropSwap. Let me tell you all about them, because we are brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Football season is about to kick off, and PropSwap is here to make this your best season ever. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. You just need to improve. For example, the Atlanta Falcons are 80-1 to win the Super Bowl and have one of the easiest strength of schedules in the league. If you think they'll get off to a hot start, make that 80-1 bet before the season and then sell for a big profit after only a couple weeks. The average seller on PropSwap makes over $500 per month just listing and selling tickets. And when making your bets, remember to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team so you can sell one for profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, let's move on to featherweight. This will be a good nickname battle also. We got Danny Chavez and Kai Kamaka III. Danny, the Colombian warrior Chavez versus Kai, the fighting Hawaiian Kamaka III. They're almost very similar vein nicknames. I'm going to go with the Colombian warrior.
Yeah, I think I like that one better.
All right, excellent. We're on the same page. And this is pretty much a pick'em almost at the books as we speak. Let's break her down. The Colombian warrior Chavez is 11-4 with 3 knockouts. He's 1-1 in the UFC. Lost his last fight. He's an inch taller than Kai Kamaka III, and he's at minus 105. Kamaka is 8-4. He's got no knockout wins. He's been knocked out twice himself, so half of his losses come via knockout. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He lost his last two fights, so he's pretty much on his last breath here. He needs a win here for sure. He was 2-0 in Bellator before this. He's taking this on short notice. He's got 2 inches of reach, and he's 8 years younger than Chavez. He's got striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's at minus 120. This is another one. I'm leaning Kamaka, but this is a tough one. Let's see if you can make it clear for me.
See if I can sway you to Danny Chavez, because that's where I'm going with this one.
It is short notice with Kamaka, so maybe I should go.
So it is short notice, and I will also say this. Kamaka is a guy who has gone in there, and he can take a couple of punches, but the problem is that he takes a couple of punches. A little bit of my worry against fighting a guy like Danny Chavez, who does have really good knockout power. Coming into the UFC, his last 3 fights, he had won by knockout. When he fought TJ Brown, he just ripped that dude's leg until he basically wasn't standing anymore. And I like that about Danny Chavez. I actually had picked him to beat Jared Gordon, and he kind of let me down on that one. But the other thing is that Kai Kamaka in his last 2 fights has given up a ton of takedowns. He's actually given up 7 takedowns in his last 2 fights. Danny Chavez has actually got 100% takedown accuracy, and one of the guys who was taking Kai Kamaka down got taken down 4 times by Danny Chavez, and that's TJ Brown. So I think the striking is going to favor Danny Chavez, but even if it doesn't, I think he has sort of the ace in the hole here of getting Kai Kamaka down late in a round or late in a fight, or if things aren't working for him on the feet. I think Danny Chavez has kind of got that backup plan for him.
Plus, we got MMA math on our side, right? He beat TJ Brown, and Kamaka lost to TJ Brown. So I guess I should flip and take Chavez in this then?
You can do what you want. I will say I'm not sure necessarily that works, because my revisionist history, if I'm remembering correctly, I think Kai Kamaka pretty handedly won that TJ Brown fight. And then was
sure he did.
I'm gonna get the intern on MMA decisions right now to let you know exactly how that went.
It's going to be one of the violent fights you promised us, Dan.
I think so, yeah. I think that this is actually a really violent fight, because Kai Kamaka can take a punch. Every single media member scored that fight for Kai Kamaka, including 6 of the 15 had scored at 30-27 for Kai Kamaka, yet the judges gave it to TJ Brown anyway. And I feel like I remember that because I think I had TJ Brown in I was like, ooh, that was a bad pick. And then the judges' scorecards came in, and I was like, it was still a bad pick, but it was a correct bad pick.
Yes. All right. I'm wishy-washy on some of these picks, but that's because I don't have it's just because I'm wishy-washy, I guess. I was going to make up an excuse, but no. I'm letting Dan sway me, even though I'm hitting at a higher rate than he is this year. But anyhow, lightweights. Chris Grootsemacher versus Rafa Garcia. We got Grits Grootsemacher versus Gifted Garcia. What do you like better there, Dan?
I don't think I like either of them.
No, neither do I. No, we'll pass. We'll pass on this. Grootsemacher is 14-4 with 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's lost 3 times via submission, which is a red flag because he's fighting against the submission whiz. He's 2-3 in the UFC. He got knocked out his last fight. Before all this, he was on Tough, where he was 2-1, the Ultimate Fighter. He also was in World Series of Fighting, where he's 1-0. He also was in Strikeforce, where he's 1-0. He's an inch taller. He's got striking stats, and he's two times more active striking than Garcia, and he's at plus 215. Gifted Garcia, 11-1 with one knockout, seven submissions, never been finished himself in a fight. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He was a Combate champion before he all of this UFC world, all of this one UFC fight he's had so far. So he does have a championship in the past. He's got 2 inches of reach, 8 years younger, grappling stats in his favor, minus 280. He's my pick. This one I'm not watching.
No, I think you can feel pretty good about picking Rafa Garcia. The weird thing about this one, it just seems like a really weird booking for me because Rafa Garcia took a short notice fight, and hey, maybe that's why they're rewarding him with this Grootsmacher one, is that he took a short notice fight against Nasrat Haqparast, who's he's a really tough out. And Garcia, despite the fact that he got jacked up a bunch of times in that fight, moved forward like the Terminator throughout pretty much that whole fight. He's got really great pressure, and I think that that's going to be the hardest thing here for Grootsmacher to deal with, because Grootsmacher just in general doesn't deal well with people backing him up, and with Garcia's striking, I even think Garcia's wrestling a little bit, and certainly with Garcia's pressure, I think Grootsmacher is going to have a really long night.
There we go. Rafa Garcia is the pick. Featherweights, Melsik Bagdazarian. Bagdazarian.
I've been waiting for that one. It's Bagdazarian. Bagdazarian.
Yeah, whatever. Versus Colin Anglin, who is on the Top Turtle podcast this week, so pick against him, please. Bagdazarian's The Gun is his nickname, and Anglin has no nickname. So not only is he jinxed with being on the Top Turtle podcast, but he also has no nickname. Who else is on the podcast this week?
Brian Barberena.
Should we be? Oh, okay. We'll pick against him later. Anglin, 8-1 with 4 knockouts, 1 submission. He's never been finished in a fight. This will be his UFC debut. He got into the UFC via the Contender Series where he won his fight. He's won 7 straight. He's got an inch of reach, 1 year younger. Grappling stats in his favor, plus 115. The Gun is 5-1 with 4 knockouts. This will be his debut. He also was on the Contender Series, where he's 1-0. He's won 5 straight fights. These guys are very, very similar records going into this. He was also 9-2 as a professional kickboxer and 3-0 as a professional boxer. He has missed weight at featherweight before, and that's where this fight is taking place. He used to be a lightweight fighter. He's a more active striker of the two, but we're talking small stats. We're talking one fight sample size for these two guys. He's at minus 145. He is my pick. I will not pick a Top Turtle guy. I will go with Chuck.
I'm going to go Chuck here, too. I like Melsik Bagdazarian, and not just in this fight. I actually think he's a really exciting prospect because one of the reasons why people didn't like him coming onto the Contender Series was that he had won 4 straight fights, and in those 4 fights had been in the cage for less than a minute combined. So he's getting a Contender Series fight with only fighting for about a minute in his whole pro career, if you don't count his debut, which had happened quite a long time ago, and then he had his kickboxing and his boxing, and then he came back to MMA. But then he went a full 15 minutes on the Contender Series, and I think his takedown defense actually held up pretty well. His cardio held up pretty well, and he wound up winning a decision. I think as long as those things hold up against Colin Anglin, I think, you know, he's going to win this fight by outpointing him on the feet. I also know with that knockout power that just exists in an extended exchange, he has the ability to turn anybody's lights off. So it wouldn't surprise me for him to knock Anglin out either. But, I think at the very least, he's going to keep his distance, keep it on the feet, and win a striking match.
Plus, you've got to say the jinx is real, Dan.
I don't know that didn't one of my guys win last week? I can't remember now. I'm gonna put the intern on it, but I think one of my guys won last week. Did they not?
Oh, who knows? Maybe.
Oh, but, I had Adrian Yanez on my show last week. Yeah.
Yes, the Greek freak. That's right. I forgot. Yeah, no, it doesn't fit in with my narrative here. So we're not gonna mention that. All right, now let's get to the UFC champion that's on this card. That'll be Nico Montano. Yes, she was a UFC champion. She is headlining the prelims in a women's bantamweight fight against Wu Yanan. As of now, she is. Will she show up for the fight, though, is the question. She's got a bit of the Tatiana Suarez problems where she doesn't show up in the cage very often, unfortunately. All right, let's break it down. Yanan's nickname is Mulan. Montana does not have one, so Mulan wins, I guess. Hooray, good job. Wu Yanan, 11-4, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's only 1-3 over her last 4. She lost her last fight. She's also missed weight in the past. She's got 3 inches of height, 1 inch of reach, 8 years younger than Montana. No, or Montano. She's at plus 185. Nico Montano, 4-3 with 2 knockouts. She's never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC, which is insane because she's been around forever and she's had 2 fights. She lost her last fight way back in July of 2019, but fighters who have been out of the cage at least a year are now at 57% winning percentage since I started tracking this a year and a half ago. So it's only getting bigger, 43-32 or so. Something to keep in mind. She was the UFC. She wasn't bantamweight. Was she bantamweight? Flyweight.
First ever flyweight.
Flyweight, yes. First ever flyweight champ, where she got that off of The Ultimate Fighter, where she went 3-0 and then won in the finale. She has failed a drug test in the past. She also has had numerous weight cutting issues. But this is at bantamweight. To be noted, it's weight class above the flyweight one, where she was originally. She has striking and active striking stats in her favor, grappling stats in her favor, minus 240. What am I to do here, Dan? I think I should pick Montana, but it's like I haven't seen her barely ever, and it's been 2 years. Like,
As I've said in the past, if we're betting on every fight, as you all should do because you're good D-gens, when it comes to a fighter who you haven't seen in a really long time, there's been a big layoff. I said this last week with TJ Dillashaw. You sort of just have to assume they're the same person. You know, we said it before with somebody like Juliana Pena, who had a long layoff too, and you just got to assume there are enough of them, their old selves, or you've got to decide that they're completely different. And if they're completely different, you have no basis to breaking it down, so you might as well pretend that they're going to be enough of them their old selves. So I'm looking at the last Nico Montano I saw, and that was her going to a decision against Juliana Pena, who fights for a title coming up pretty soon. Not only did she fight to a decision with Juliana Pena, but she took Juliana Pena down a bunch of times. Like, I think people forget that was like a back and forth grappling match between Juliana Pena and Nico Montano. It was not one sided. Every judge gave Montano the first round. And every single judge gave Pena the second and the third. But it was pretty much across the board agreed that Nico Montano took it to Juliana Pena in the first round. So, with that being said, I expect her to be washed. In the fact that if you look at the 2 losses for Yanan Wu, both of them, you know, both of the recent losses come to women who are not bantamweights. Like the Mizuki Inoue fight, first of all, was not only at flyweight, but Mizuki Inoue now fights at lightweight. And same with Jocelyn Edwards. That one was at bantamweight, but I think Edwards has fought a bunch of times at flyweight. So, you know, that's obviously alarming. I mean, she lost to Gina Mazzani at bantamweight, which nobody else has done. Gina Mazzani has only got 1 win at bantamweight. She's on a decent roll at flyweight. But, yeah, I just think Nico Montano, if she comes in looking like she did against Juliana Pena, she's going to take down Yanan Wu and control her the whole time. And, hey, maybe even rough her up with ground and pound. I have probably more confidence in Nico Montano than I ought to, but I do like her in this fight.
Yeah, I was leaning towards her too, and you sold me. So I'm not really sure about minus 240, but we have to bet on every fight, as we said. So we will take it and keep our fingers crossed. So that is the prelims for you. Let's tell you about our last 2 sponsors, and then we'll go commercial-free, ad-free main card. Before we do that, make sure you head on over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for free $25, and then you can enter there. Contest for $1 million where you can win $1 million. That's correct, $1 million. So who couldn't use $1 million right now? So download the app, everybody. That's Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. While you're downloading apps, make sure you download our app, SGPN app, that would be. We are now live in the App Store and Google Play. The app gives you easy access to all our picks, podcasts. You get a notification on your phone if you choose anytime a podcast drops. You can get access to our site, $3 awesome articles that are Amazingly edited by me, among other people. And you can see all the different promos we are offering from various gambling and fantasy sports sites. Whole bunch of good stuff. So make sure you download the SGPN app today. And if you can, throw us up a review. Be a good boy and girl. Give us a review while you're downloading it. All right, main card. Like I said, it was ESPN, and it was, what, 9 p.m. Eastern, I believe. We'll start with welterweights. Brian Bam Bam Barberina, friend of the Top Turtle podcast, versus Jason the Vanilla Gorilla Wit. We're not going with the Vanilla Gorilla no matter what. So obviously Bam Bam wins,
I think,
right?
So, but also because he's not the original Vanilla Gorilla, right? He's the second. Yeah. We already have a Vanilla Gorilla with Chase Sherman.
And the smaller one too.
And he's way less of a
gorilla.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's kind of a stockier gorilla. Whereas Chase Sherman, for a guy who goes by the name Vanilla Gorilla, Chase Sherman is quite lanky.
All right, fine. Is there any chunky guys on this card? I don't think there is anymore, is there? I think we lost our chunky guys.
I think so.
We haven't talked about chunky guys in weeks. It's been a long time. That was our thing.
I'll get the intern. I'm looking at the next week card and see if we've got some chunkiness to look forward to.
But we lost our heavyweight fight. We lost. It was going to be middleweights now.
Next week is Derek Lewis, the chunky guy to end all chunky guys.
King. Yes, our king. Our king. Bow to our leader. All right. Brian Barberina, quickly. Tell us quickly how being on the Top Turtle podcast benefited him health-wise, Dan.
That's harsh. The last time he was on the Top Turtle podcast, he then had two ruptured arteries in his stomach cavity and briefly lost vision. And you can hear him tell that whole story this week where he didn't have an exploded artery and instead went on to beat Jason Witt.
Okay, we'll see. I believe what you said off there was they basically had to gut him and take everything out of him to figure out what
it, was it's, it's definitely worth listening to. It's gross as hell, but it's worth listening to. Yes.
All right, there you go. There's your teaser, everybody. All right, let's break down the Vanilla Gorilla, Mr. Witt, first. 18-7 with 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times in his career. He's been subbed 2 times in his career, so he's been finished every time he's lost the fight. The knockouts are of concern in this fight, let me tell you. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He swapped wins and losses back and forth. He got KO'd his last fight. He was 0-1 in Bellator before this. Grappling stats are in his favor. He's at +205. Bam Bam Barberina, 15-7 with 10 knockouts, 2 submissions, 6-5 in the UFC. He's won 1 of his last 3, but his win was his last fight. So he's on a roll, everybody. 2 inches taller than Witt, 2 inches of reach, 3 years younger, more active striker, -270. I think I smelled me a knockout prop for Bam Bam here.
Yeah, I like Bam Bam here, and I like him by finish, too. You know, you mentioned not maybe the best record in recent memory for Bam Bam. Remember the losses to Randy Brown, Vicente Luque, Leon Edwards, Colby Covington. Those are his last 4 losses.
Killer.
Man, dude, that is an insane lineup. And that run even includes wins over guys like Warley Alves and Jake Ellenberger. So, like, even some of and Sage Northcutt. Don't forget he submitted Sage Northcutt. And knocked out Joe Ellenberger. He's got the Ellenberger, or the whole complete set. Look at that. Joe and Jake. Yeah, which is kind of fun. Nice. I didn't remember the Joe one. So, but yeah, I think, look, he was in there with Vicente Luque. I think he took 150 of Vicente Luque's best punches before one finally dropped him with like 6 seconds left. So for him to do that, you can pretty much negate the idea that Jason Witt's going to go in there and knock him out, right? Like, you can just cross that off of Jason Witt's possible path to victory, which pretty much just leaves, like, do you think Jason Witt can take down Brian Barberina and sub him? And you got to remember, Brian Barberina's got a great submission game, like, super, super underrated submission game. So, yeah, I think this is pretty clearly one-sided. I think Barberina by knockout here is probably a prop we're going to be talking about at the end of the show.
Barberina has been submitted once in his career, and it was a long time ago, it looks like, Derek Smith in his third fight 11 years ago. So good chance he's not going to get submitted.
I think that's a safe play.
And now that he got rid of all that pesky blood that was holding him back, he's onward and upward.
Yeah,
soon, right?
Onward and upward, man.
All right, let's go with the little guys. Flyweights, Zaruk Adashev, Ryan Benoit. Zaruk is the lion, Benoit, or Benoit is babyface. What should we go with here?
Babyface is fitting.
Like, babyface is kind of funny.
And it's also fitting, yeah. Like, he looks young.
Exactly. And I don't have odds written down for this one. All right, I'll get you some odds after I break it down here quickly for you. All right, let's go with Adashev first. 3-3 with 2 knockouts. He's 0-2 in the UFC. So he could use a fight here, or he may be walking. He missed weight, and that was at bantamweight, weight class up. So that's a little worrisome heading into a flyweight fight. Before all this, he's 3-0 in Bellator. He was before all of this, he was 16-3 pro kickboxer. He's 3 years younger than Benoit or Benoit, if you prefer. The baby face is 10-7 with 8. 10-7 8 knockouts, 1 submission, 3-5 in UFC. He's lost the last 2 and 1 of his last 4. He's only won 1 of his last 4. So this could be one of my patented loser leaves town matches. He has not fought in over a year. July the 2020 was the last fight. He's had lots of issues missing weight. He's missed weight multiple times. I think he got pulled. Did he not get pulled his last fight? Didn't his last fight not get canceled because he had weight cutting issue? It was against Adashev, was it not?
Is it Benoit or Benoit? Did we argue about this last time? I think we did.
We did.
You're right.
We were saying,
I think Ryan Benoit Benoit did miss weight in that one then. Yeah, and it did get pulled.
Yes. He does not have the crippler crossface in his corner, so maybe we should call him Benoit instead. We're not allowed to talk about murderous wrestlers on here, I guess.
Just murderous baseball players. Fine. Just murderous baseball players.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. This is going to be called the murder episode, isn't it? I do need a subtitle, so the murder episode is what it's going to be called. We're going to get all the people that listen to those real crime podcasts. They're all going to be tuning in to this one to find out who done it. All right. You confirmed he missed last fight because of weight cut.
Correct. That is confirmed.
Medical issue too, because he was cutting so much. Why don't these guys just fight at bantamweight? Since Adashev has missed weight at bantamweight in the past, and Benoit Benoit seems to not be able to make flyweight, why don't they just like agree to fight at bantamweight? Would that not be save a lot of people?
I think the problem is if you move them up to bantamweight, Dana White says they're not worthy of even being in bantamweight in the UFC, right? Because like flyweight, you can at least say, well, we don't have very many flyweights. We can't just go cutting every single flyweight who doesn't look great. Whereas if you put them in bantamweight, they get crushed by most bantamweights.
True. All right. I think I told you he has 3 inches of reach, but he does if I didn't tell you. Yeah, striking and active striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor. He's at -140. Do I want to go with him, Dan, because he's got all the stats in his favor? And he's been off for a while, which helps too, it seems. Or do I want to go with Adashev?
I don't want to go with either of them, if I'm being completely honest. But,
yeah, can we cut them both?
I'm going to go with Benoit or Benoit. He did get Tim Elliott down in his last fight. That's worth something. He's very durable. He's not really easy to get out of there. He did have a really good fight with Brandon Moreno one time, which I think people sometimes forget that he lost a split decision to Brandon Moreno quite a while ago, but a split decision. He does have a win over Sergio Pettis. My problem with Zaruk Adashev, too, is just that like he is, like you said, he's a kickboxer, right? He's a striker. And he looks very one-dimensional. And he's also lost his last 2 fights to strikers. So he's not even like a good enough striker when the person he's fighting is just going to strike with him, right? Like, Tyson Nam knocked him out real fast. Sumu Derji just pieced him up on the feet the whole time. So, yeah, I like Ryan Benoit in this fight, or Benoit, or whatever the hell his name is.
you have to correct yourself each time, which is great.
Yeah, it makes it worse that I draw attention to the fact that I keep alternating.
It's Benoit or Benoit is another good name for this episode.
Yeah, although that's a tough one to spell out.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm gonna take Benoit in this fight. I think Or Benoit. One of the two. And I think he controls where this fight is enough, and it's more of me fading Adeshev than anything else.
Okay, I'm getting a little nervous here. This is turning out really chalky for us. Is that okay?
It's not really chalky for me. I got three dogs. Trevin Jones is a dog. Jinyu Fry is a dog. Jamie Chavez is a dog.
Yep. That's true. All right, I got three,
and there are more coming, so don't worry.
I got two. Oh, hear that? Hear that, everybody? More plus money coming your way. Don't you dare turn off your podcast. Welterweights. This is a match we spoke of before. Jared Gooden will be filling in, as far as everyone knows. I don't think the UFC knows yet, but Jared Gooden is going to be filling in against Nicholas Stoltze. And this is what, less than a week's notice, he will be filling in on this in this fight. His nickname is Night Train, spelled incorrectly, N-I-T-E. Stoltze's nickname is Green Mask. Is there a story behind that
I
should know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he told it on the podcast or after it, because Nicholas Stoltze...
He's been on your podcast before.
Yeah, I once talked to Nicholas Stoltze. He was a... I want to say a Muay Thai fighter back in the day, and his coach came up to him one day and was like, you need something to make people remember you, like a dance or something like that, and like got all in his face about like trying to have more of a personality in the cage or before he got in the ring or on his way to the ring, and he didn't come up with anything, so his coach just brought him a green mask that he wore to the Muay Thai ring, and he knocked the guy out in like 6 seconds. And when he went to the bar, a bunch of people asked him if he was the green mask regularly. And so then it just kind of stuck. He was the green mask after that.
Okay. Well, that wins then.
That's a pretty good story.
You also gave me another amazing title for the podcast. I talked to Nicholas Stoltze. That's very good. See, there's too many this time, but that may be a little too wordy, but all right. Green mask wins. Let's break it down. Gooden, 17-6, 7 knockouts, 6 submissions, 0-2 in the UFC. He's taking this on very short notice. He's got 3 inches of reach. He's 1 year younger than Stoltze. He's twice more active landing strikes than his opponent. He's at plus 170. The green mask is 12-4 with 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. I'm assuming he won't be able to wear a green mask unless it's like a Venom branded green mask,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Stupid UFC. He is 0-1 in the UFC, so both these guys are looking to get their first UFC win. He has been out of action for a year, which actually is good, we've decided. Dan thinks it's because getting punched in the head's not good for you, right?
I do believe that to be true, yeah.
All right. Dan's crazy thinker, but all right. He's an inch taller than Gooden. Striking stats in his favor is minus 200. Got to go against the super short notice guy who's never won in the UFC. So we'll go with Green Mask.
I agree with you on that, too. And I will say he is a really good striker. I think he's a really talented striker. I think that's why they originally had him matched up with Mordir Lazez, because I think that was just going to be one of the most exciting fights on this card before Lazez fell off, because they're just both really fun kickboxers. And that's why I worry about Gooden in this fight, is because Stoltze debuted against Ramazan Amiev, who is, you know, like no slouch. The guy is, 5-1 in the UFC. He's got wins over guys who are up at middleweight now. He's only got one loss to Anthony Rocco Martin in there, who's not a bad loss. And his whole thing is he's good at takedowns. And Stoltze stuffed 8 of his 12 takedowns. So, 67% takedown defense is nothing to laugh at. And Stoltze got one of his own in there, which is actually pretty crazy. So for me, Gooden has gotten pieced up by Alan Joban in the striking. And I'm not saying Stoltze is as good of a striker as Joban, but I think he's got enough of the Alan Joban in him here that he has no problem here piecing up Jared Gooden. And it's probably the last we'll see of Jared Gooden.
Oh, Dan's firing the guy, too.
I mean,
oh,
I didn't
God.
Actually think he was going to get another shot. I think this short-notice one was his last chance.
Yeah, very possibly very true. All right, so we will agree with that and take another chalky line.
We have one difference so far, just one?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm a flip-flopper.
Yeah,
you're just riding
coattails.
Exactly, but I know the one – I always have to pick at least one different, because that's the one that's going to bring me glory every week, Dan. All right, breaking news just came in because I when you're talking, I don't pay attention. I'm playing on my phone the whole time. Because, you know, we don't have cameras on. We have no cameras on, so Dan does not know this. Breaking news, Holly Holm is head back to featherweight to fight Norma Dumont. So in October, so they're obviously they're warming her up for another title fight, right, Dan?
Yeah, I assume so. But I did see that get announced as well. I think there is some hope there that people really like Norma Dumont. She's looked really good as of late, so maybe that's the hope.
Maybe. But I'm sure they're hoping she wins and Holm wins and gets another title shot because that's what happens. All right. Speaking of the women, let's go women's strawweight, the exact opposite of the featherweights. Cheyenne Baez, it is, right? Not Baez. Or is it Baez?
Cheyenne Baez, right? Yeah.
Baez, right. Well, she should change her U to an A, should she not? Along with her husband, too, while he's at it.
Yeah, JP Baez. I think it's because the name is South African, if I'm not mistaken. JP Baez is South African.
Okay, right, okay. Has he been on your – he's been on your podcast, has he not? Has she been on your podcast?
I don't think, but they're four MMA folks, so that means, I'm usually riding with the Fortist people.
Yes. She's fighting Gloria Dupala. So Dan Tizan, he's going to be taking Baze. Oh, this is why we talked about Zena before. She's the warrior princess. two weeks in a row, we're going to talk about what's with all these girls and their warrior
princess. They would have been at formative age when Zena was on, would they not have? Yeah,
true. Diana Bellabeat. No, what's Diana's name?
She was the warrior princess too, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think so. And what's
Daniela.
Her name? Oh, it's not Diana.
Daniela Belvita.
Daniela Belvita. So, yeah, we got another warrior princess against Glorinha. So
Little
it's
Gloria. Yeah,
her name,
it means Little Gloria in Portuguese.
Oh, I like Little Gloria better than Warrior Princess. Screw the Warrior Princess.
Yeah, Little Gloria or any of the Portuguese names that sound really menacing. Glorinho sounds really menacing. I usually make a joke about that there are a whole bunch of, Portuguese nicknames that sound, really menacing, and then you translate them, and they're the least menacing things ever. Husmal Pajares was Toqueño, which means tree stump. Yes. Or Gabriel Gonzaga, who's famously from Massachusetts, his nickname was Napau, which means big nose.
Yes.
Silva. I got one more. On. Antonio Silva was Peixão, which means Bigfoot. Yeah. Glorinho.
I'm just glad that you skimmed right over me saying screw the Warrior Princess. That's fine. I'm glad that we're not going to pay attention to that. So let's talk about Little Gloria. This is a family show. Come on, this isn't that type of show, guys. She's 5-3 with three knockouts. She's never been finished in a fight. She's 0-1 the UFC. 1-0 of the Contender Series, 2 inches taller, 4 inches of reach, striking and grappling stats in her favor, +145. And Baze, the Warrior Princess, is 5-2 with one knockout, never been finished in a fight, 0-1 in the UFC, 1-0 of the Contender Series, 0-1 in Invicta, the more active striker, -185. I believe she was pretty hyped up coming into the UFC, right? And I think at least I picked her in her fight, and then debut and she lost. Maybe you picked her too. I can't remember.
No,
you picked against her. That was the one where I got screwed.
Go back and look at who she fought, man. Yeah.
That was the famous fight where Dan hit an underdog for
275 one. Underdog, ladies and gentlemen. Montserrat right. Canejo.
Okay, I remember now. So she was, Baez was hype, but you were saying that she wasn't that good, right?
That is what I was saying, and sadly, that is what I'm going to continue to say. I'm going to take Gloria Dupala in this fight.
I was going to, too. Yeah, good. We're both taking
it. And here's what I'll say about Gloria Dupala. Yes, she did lose to Jinyu Fry, but if you look at that fight, if you go back and watch that fight, first of all, her striking looks incredible in that fight. She absolutely pieces up Jinyu Fry on the feet when she wants to. Fry saves that fight with a couple of takedowns and the fact that Gloria Dupala couldn't get back up. I think Baze could probably take her down and get after it. Cheyenne Baze went 0-2 taking Hillary Rose down, who's a Northeast regional fighter who, I'm going to be honest, I'm not really high on Hillary Rose. They had her on the Contender Series. I was she's going to get smoked by pretty much anybody they book her with. So, for me, Gloria Dupala has faced first of all, better competition, and I think has a chance to defend the takedown here from Bayes. And I think if this stays on the feet for any amount of time, I think DePaula does terrible things to Cheyenne Bayes on the feet here, to the point where I'd almost think about possibly looking into a Gloria DePaula finish prop, too.
What type of horrible things
just
is she
blood
going to do?
Every, blood everywhere. We're going to see so many elbows.
So is it going to be saving on your phone worthy? Are you going to get screenshots and saving
no,
on your
lately,
phone?
All the only ones I'm saving now are anybody who breaks their shin bone and tries to step on it again.
So
everyone. A lot of people
so
lately.
Basically every,
that, now exactly. I have a whole bunch of the gifts of, if you guys haven't none of you have heard this.
This is not funny, Dan, by the way.
What I'm about to tell you is funny. You just have to wait a second. So there was an event, I think today, awkwardly enough, this is taping on Wednesday, in Georgia on like a mountainside, and it rained, and it was outside, and the people are just... People are just slipping in the cage the whole time. There's a lot of good GIFs on Twitter right now of just people, like, going to throw a punch and falling down and, like, breaking their hands on their, like, falling down. I believe it's called GFC 13, but Georgia Fighting Championships 13. It's very good.
It sounds very American. American.
It was like the scene, and I know you haven't seen this movie because I brought it up recently. It's like the scene from Here Comes the Boom when Kevin James is fighting in like a parking lot and it starts raining and everybody's falling everywhere.
So basically, go to Grabaka Hitman
on
Twitter.
Yeah, he's got
you
covered.
Did you see, here goes another, we're talking in brackets again. Did you see the, I think it was the bare knuckle, I think Artem Lobov was in it, where the bare knuckle where they like fight with the peak guys were fighting
their
jeans,
that they,
and there was like sandbags all around.
Previous iterations under that company, they fought in jeans, but Artem got to fight in actual shorts. I was told. So
yeah, wow.
I also heard he got smoked, but I don't watch bare knuckle boxing. It's that for some reason that's where I draw a line. It's not for me.
Really, people breaking their shins is cool, but
yeah.
It's not the facial stuff, cool.
Either. It's just like I don't get why you go into a boxing match expecting to like somebody's gonna get knocked out, right? And that's part of it. And supposedly not wearing gloves helps that, but then like people have just like these weirdly mangled hands like halfway through the. I don't want that to be part of any fight I'm watching. Just like that suddenly you can't really punch or you have to start pulling your punches because. Your hands, like, go look up the picture of Paige VanZant the day after her fight. Like, her hands are like Mickey Mouse. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Don't look it up because she's doing rude things with her middle finger in this picture. So, because she's hardcore. She actually is tough. I'll give her that. So, all right. Plus, when I watch this stuff, I'm like, I would just rather, like, watch people that can kick or knee or take people down. I'd rather watch the whole thing.
I'm into jiu-jitsu.
Oh, that's right, yes. Have you been able to start that back up?
I have,
yet,
I started doing jiu-jitsu again.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh. With brown belt, here we go.
Perhaps not long away, hopefully.
Oh, boy. What if I tell your teacher I will hype you up as a brown belt on this podcast? Would that grease his hand a bit?
No, absolutely not. He's a very old school guy. He started doing like no holds barred MMA in like 92. So like I don't think a podcaster is going to sway his view of people at all.
Does he know what a podcast is?
He does.
Is?
Yes, I'm very certain he knows that. Yes.
And you call me a podcaster. I think that's an insult. I'm not like if people call me a blogger, it's the same thing. I think it's an insult. But anyhow, I guess that's technically what I'm doing. All right. That was enough of a bracket, right? Sidebar?
Yeah, I'd say that it was enough.
if you will. All right. Let's go. It's because this fight card's so exciting. It's holding our attention so much. All right. If that wasn't enough for you, Bayes versus DePaula. That's the third from the top fight. That's how stacked this card is. Actually, the co-main event's pretty good. Bantamweights. Kyung Ho Kang versus Hani Yaya, which is the funnest name to say in MMA, which is the reason why he doesn't have a nickname, because Hani Yaya is a nickname in itself. Kang is Mr. Perfect, which I approve because I was a big Kurt Hennig fan, but I think Hani Yaya not having a nickname and just going by his amazing name is better than any nickname.
Yeah, I'm always on the Hani Yaya.
I know you are. You're always on the Hani Yaya train. Well, let's see what Mr. Yaya is going to bring into the cage resume-wise. 27-10-1 with one no contest. He's got 21 submissions to his name. No knockouts, all submissions. He's 12-4-1 with one no contest in the UFC. He's 4-1-1 over his last, that would be, what, six fights by my math, and he won his last fight. Before all this, he was 4-3 in WEC. WEC never die, right, Dan? Never die. It'll always live in our head. That was probably my favorite promotion, I think. Another
sidebar.
It's right up there for me, too. The cage, the fighters, it was on, like, an odd night, too, like a Thursday or Tuesday.
Good announcing. And in retrospect,
yeah, Frank Mir was actually a very good color commentator.
In retrospect, some of the best fighters at that time too, right? Like,
yes,
I know that we've seen the careers of these guys all dip down, but like Anthony Pettis and Benson Henderson fought for a UFC title after that. And at the time, it's not like the UFC didn't have that division. The UFC had that division at that time and just had worse guys.
Yep. Cowboy Cerrone, Jose Aldo, your favorite Uriah Faber, Dominic Cruz, lots of guys. Yeah, it was good. So anyhow, Hani Yaya also was in that. That's because he made his debut way back in September of 2002, which means, you know what my next question is going to be, Dan.
What was that?
What were you doing in September of
2002? I was
starting grade, what,
eighth? I would have been starting eighth grade. Yeah, when Hani Yaya was in professionally fighting.
Did you have the wild hair poking out of your baseball?
Oh no, not yet. That didn't come until I was in high school. Yeah, that was okay. Rebellious. High school Gumby.
Of course, there you go. All right, so. Mr. Yaya, who I'm taking a long time getting through his resume here, but he also is a multiple-time BJJ champion, which means Dan's going to pick him. I'm telling you right now, Dan's going to pick him. He's at plus 112. Mr. Perfect, 18-8 with one no contest. He's got two knockouts, 11 submissions. He's only lost one time in his career via submission. He's 6-2 with one no contest in the UFC. He's won three straight. He has been out of action since December of 2019. Before all this, he was the Road FC champion. That's what South Korea is.
I believe so, yes.
Is it not? Correct, is it not, I say. That's good English. But yes, I was correct. 3 inches taller, 6 inches reach, 3 years younger, striking and active striking in his favor, minus 140. I'm going against Dan. I already made your pick for you. I'm going against Dan. I'm taking Kang.
Yeah, I'm going to take Hani. Yeah. You're right about my pick. I think the problem for me and why I don't like Kyung Ho Kang in this fight is that he kind of relies a lot on his takedowns. And I like that in a lot of fights, but don't like that fighting Hani Yaya, right? Like, do you think he's going to control Hani Yaya? I don't.
Nobody puts Hani Yaya.
Yeah, like, but seriously though, like Hani seriously, Yaya. Like who's. Who's going to control Hani Yaya? Like, it doesn't seem like a plausible strategy, right? So, yeah, I mean, like, I like Hani Yaya in this fight. I like him in a whole lot of different ways, but I think he probably gets it done with his grappling here.
Who's going to control Hani Yaya is another amazing name for an episode. We're wasting so many good names here.
Yeah.
Who is going to control Hani Yaya? Kang is. Kodos and Kang, because Kodos is going to come down and help him too, man.
Yeah, that's a good...
We haven't had a Simpsons reference for a while. Kodos, other than the huddy-ho thing that I do. The lame entrance intro thing that I do. Okay, it brings us to our amazing main event. This always was a main event, right?
No.
Yeah, this was always the main event. No, what was the main event?
Was it not Askar Askarov and Alex Perez? Or was that supposed to be the...
Oh, yeah, Yeah, I don't think I was going to be. They wouldn't put.
That's true. That's crazy. That could have been a co-main.
That's right. That was going to be on this card too. Yeah, this. I'm crapping all over this card, but there's a lot of interesting belts that actually fell through. Doo-Ho Choi fell through, even though he hasn't done that great. But he is the Korean Superboy. He was supposed to be on this card too. But anyhow, that's what happens. All right. Main event, middleweights, Uriah Hall versus Sean Strickland. See if we differ on this one, too. Uriah Hall's nickname's Primetime. Strickland's nickname is
nothing.
No, it's
Tarzan.
So, oh, yeah, that's right. Why is that not listed anywhere? Yeah, Tarzan's better than Primetime. Screw that. So Tarzan wins, right?
I guess so. Yeah, it's like not so? A neither great.
Both of them are lame. Yeah. Shouldn't his, Strickland's nickname could be like Road Rash or something, right? From his motorcycle accident. He must have had a bunch of that.
That's a terrible nickname.
Has he been on your show
yes,
before, Dan?
Yes, I've had him on my show before. Way back
when. Tell him
probably 150 episodes ago.
Yeah, before he had Road Rash, probably. Okay, well, next time you have him on, make sure you let him know. I'm sure he'll appreciate my derogatory nickname for him. Let's break down Primetime Hall. He's 17-9 with 13. Make that 13 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out himself four times. He's 10-7 in the UFC. It's actually a better record than you'd think, because people like to crap all over to Uriah Hall, but 10-7 is not so shabby. He's won four straight fights, 5 of 6. He was 4-0 on The Ultimate Fighter. He also is 1-0 in Bellator. He's at 3 inches of reach on Strickland. He's at +175. Strickland, Tarzan, Road Rash, 23-3 with 10 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's only been knocked out once himself in his career. He's 10-3 in the UFC. He's also won 4 straight fights and 5 of 6. So something's going to give here. Inch of height, 7 years younger, which is surprising. You'd think Strickland would be older, but no. I started a little bit later, I guess. He's a more active striker. He's the better grappler stat-wise. He's -225. He is my pick. Are you going with me here, Dan? I don't see him getting knocked out by Hall. And I see him winning the grappling fight. Or if it gets nasty, I see him winning a nasty fight, too.
I'm going to go with Uriah Hall.
My gosh.
I actually think, look, if you look at the last couple of fights from Uriah Hall, there's really not much we can tell, right? Like, that win against Anderson Silva, it's a washed Anderson Silva. And the Chris Weidman fight is, just basically ignore that it ever happened. But if you look before that, he actually did a pretty good job at defending takedowns from Antonio Carlos Jr. And I think Antonio Carlos Jr. is a much better grappler than Sean Strickland is. Then after that fight, he goes to Fortis MMA. His game looks more complete. He looked a lot better against Anderson Silva in that fight. And again, it's a washed Anderson Silva. Whereas Sean Strickland, he has looked good as of late, but those wins are over, that Jack Marshman fight. He couldn't put Jack Marshman away in that fight, and it was like Jack Marshman wasn't even trying by the looks of it. He was just like giving up and getting hit, and he still couldn't put him away. Uriah Hall's knocked out Christoph Jocko, and Christoph Jocko went in there and just kind of fought nonstop for 15 minutes against Sean Strickland. And yeah, MMA math doesn't work out, but I don't know that Strickland's going to be able to get him down and hold him down since Antonio Carlos Jr. couldn't. If that's the case, I still think Uriah Hall is a better striker than a lot of middleweights. And at that kind of price, too, that's the big piece for me. At that kind of price, how do you turn down almost 2-to-1 money on a guy who I think has a pretty sizable striking advantage?
Watch me turn it down.
I already watched you turn it down. We now have three differences. This is a completely different week. Although, do I have the underdog in every?
Oh, yeah,
I have
the
underdog in every single one of them.
Yeah, which that's
how
tense.
I
in the past it hasn't
but
worked.
That's
out
why
so
I have the money lead. Remember that.
That's true. $10. He's ahead of me by $10. Oh, I got another news flash for you. Ready for this one? My fantasy baseball team. Check out these lines for my starting pitchers: -9 points, -16.7, -14.7.
While you're at it, you want to check out my starting pitchers?
I was going to get an oof.
It was oof, but I just want to point you to mine if you would like to take a quick peek at them.
See how dance pitchers, he's got a billion. 50 points, 15 points, 17 points, -2, 30 points, 32 points, 17 points, 32 points. So I'm not catching up.
I think today was a good day for me. I'll let you know that.
But yeah, people really, the number one thing people like to hear is when they talk about their fantasy sports teams when they listen to a MMA podcast, but that's what kind of show we are. All right, so we broke down the whole card for you. I give you one prop I liked, which was Bam Bam via knockout.
I'm going to throw a wrench in that one. So Bam Bam by knockout is plus 160, and I was just looking at the lines. Bam Bam by submission is maybe not the worst play either. I think Jason Witt's going to try some takedowns. It wouldn't surprise me to see Bam Bam either sub him with a guillotine or tag him on the feet and, like, rear naked choke him. And you can get Bam Bam by submission at 550. So that's, like, a big play. So if you're looking for something like that, that's maybe even a little bit more fun than just the Bam Bam 160. And another prop I like is, I said Gloria DePaula, I said before, I would not be surprised if she got Cheyenne Bays out of there. You know, she's plus 150 already, but if you want to make that super juicy, Gloria DePaula by KO is plus 950. So you're getting almost 10-1 on Gloria DePaula should she get that knockout.
There you go. Hear that? The gens now, all these gens always want like a billion fight parlays too, because they're hardcore gens, especially the ones in the SGPN Slack channel. If you guys want to, if you're not already there, get into our Slack channel. Check out the fight channel. Check all the channels out, but check out the fight one where there lots of the gens that like a good parlay. And Dan, off top of his head, is probably going to give him a massive. How did that parlay
not,
go
not
last
good,
week?
Not good. Not good. Like all my picks last week. Not good.
Because it was like 28 fight.
Yeah, parlay. I'm going to give you. I'll give you a three part parlay this week. So I'm going to pair Danny Chavez. I think his fight with Kai Kamaka is giving you both good odds and. The fact that he is actually he's an underdog, which is pretty crazy. I like him in that fight. I like Orion Koski in the opener. And then I also like, I mentioned I like Melsik Bogdasarian in that fight. Those three together, Chavez, Koski, and Bogdasarian, will give you plus 500. So not as degenny as Yawn. You usually like. But if you want to go wild, you want to throw one more in there, you want to get super crazy, throw in Jinyu Fry. She's going to win too, and that'll give you plus 1,200. So how about that?
Yeah, that's more like it. More like it. All right. It's your turn for the locks. Is there any point even for us to pick locks anymore, Dan? We're on a bit of a slump with locks. I guess I'm still above water, but
yeah,
barely.
I hate this card for locks, but I guess if you're telling me I got to pick one. And I don't want to pick some, like, massive odds. Like, Rafa Garcia and Brian Barberena are probably, like, the safe plays.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess I'll, you know what? I'm just going to do that. I'm going to take the win in, like, the $30 it will yield in Rafa Garcia.
Okay, I'll take Bam Bam. I was leaning towards him, too. So
Boring
we'll,
lock.
We'll see.
Boring lock.
I know, boring locks, but I'm actually going against the top turtle.
The Jinx, yeah.
Jinx here, so, yeah, I'm thinking he bled it out, hopefully. So I'm thinking that was the horrible thing that happened to him, and hopefully that he's good to go going forward. So you guys, you listeners are definitely good to go now. Don't go away yet. I have to give you your homework, but let me think. $100 in every fight that we named. Pick all my picks, obviously, because I'm 56%. Dan's only 52? Oh, my God, 52. So pick all mine, obviously, because you want to win. Dan's only up $10 on me, too. That's nothing. $10 is nothing to a degen. So do that. Subscribe to our MMA Gambling Podcast feed and give us 5-star reviews. Tell us how horrible Dan is and how Jeff's the only reason to listen to the show, right?
I mean, you could say that if you really believe it.
You can say that if you want. It'll be a lie, but you can say it if you want. You can, while you're at it, listen to Dan's podcast, which would be Top Turtle MMA Podcast, the Prelim Primer Podcast. You have an amazing review on Top Turtle Podcast from years ago. Have you read your reviews on that ever?
I did a long time ago. Is it the one that claimed that we had like a gunshot sound that went in between interviews? Which, like, I don't think we've used since like the third episode, and that was like back when we didn't know how to like edit volume down. So it was like a weird transition sound, and like it was gone immediately. But we got that review, and it is in that profile, and you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it was right either below or above is. An amazing review from me, and then there's that review saying the person can't listen anymore.
Yeah, and it says we're a great podcast, too, which is also weird because again, I think it came in after like three episodes.
obviously not an American, right? Because you would be used to hearing gunshots, correct?
Oof. That
murderous people. Hey, murder again. Here we go.
That's
dead murder.
Oof again. You get the oof on that one.
Oof. Okay, fine. You guys aren't murderous people. You're awesome. You Americans are amazing. The border's going to open up soon, so I better watch my mouth, right? All right, what else should I tell everybody to do? I told you to listen to Dan's stuff. Oh, you can read our stuff if you want. SportsGamblingPodcast.com, obviously. And I run the MMA-Manifesto.com, where you're going to want to go and you can get more good info on this amazing fight card coming up. I guess I shouldn't say that if I want you to go read our stuff. But you should read our stuff. Have you posted your things yet, Dan? I don't think
not,
you
Not yet for this you. Week.
Dan's slacking. I'll move on. Dan will have a couple articles on people to keep an eye on this card. I've got the Pick'em contest up there for you to get in for free. You win $50 gift card from anywhere you want, courtesy of the SGPN boys. So make sure you get in on that. We've been talking for an hour and a half. Is this the longest podcast?
This has been a long one, yeah, and it's because the card's so good. God. You know?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I apologize that you had to listen to this for that long. I guess we had a lot of us. We had to try to spruce up the podcast because the fight card is I was going to say it's lacking, but no, it's amazing. So, all right, I guess I've told you enough. I let Dan take us out last time, and he screwed up and said we'll see you next week. So that means no one's listening to this podcast.
We will also see him next week.
I know, but everybody's not listening to this now. If our numbers are down, it's because you told them to come back on Sunday, not Wednesday. So until Sunday, I am Juicy Jeff Fox, which is a nickname I never has said until the very end of the podcast every week. But that's my new nickname. He is Daniel Gumby Vreeland, and we will talk to you on Sunday. We won't talk to you. We'll talk at you, and you'll listen politely. Thank you. Bye.